Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy hump day. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Got a hopefully a great show lined up for you today. We need to bounce back strong in the MLB, right? After we pump our tires with some of our picks. Oh, we got Andrew Benintendi at 12-1 to steal a base. Who cares? Because he didn't follow it up. I didn't follow it up. Yesterday was just not a great day around the diamond. I feel like we got burned. Shane McClanahan, we needed 8 Ks from this guy. He got 7 Ks, 81 pitches. Cashman takes this guy out. Rays take him out, Cash. And then after that, they just blow the lead, of course. The Rays, I can't really figure them out sometimes with the short leashes that the crew in Tampa Bay has on some of these pitchers. And then I think we got burned by Hunter Green as well. We needed 7, and I think he got 6. Actually, we needed 6. I think he got 5. Nonetheless, we did get burned. So we're trying to bounce back here on the show. There's a lot of action around the diamond here today. So, you know, if you're hanging out with us live, you have any questions, any MLB stuff here live, by all means, leave them there in the comment section. Subscribe. It's free to watch this show on our FTN Network YouTube page, also iTunes, Spotify. You're watching on Game Plus Network at 2 Eastern. Some of the games probably already taking place. So I am going to attack some later games, some games this evening for those that are watching on Game Plus Network, and hopefully looking for a couple MLB picks. We're going to bounce back today. We got a couple all over the place, a couple parlays, a couple strikeout props, a couple, you know, first five unders, because there's a couple really nice pitching matchups as well. And the rest of this show will be heavy NFL related. I got my guy Jay Felicio in here, G-Man Jay. He is the content manager over at Front Yard Fantasy. He's doing some fantastic stuff. He's just overall really, really good dude. I call him one of my better friends here, not only just in the industry, but in real life. And he touches a lot of sports as well. He's a big Carolina Hurricanes fan. I might have to talk about the Hurricanes. They got Brent Burns. They got Max Pacioretty. They're making some moves. He's a big Yankees guy. It's all right. We won't be too hard on the Yankees, right? I mean, the Yankees are rolling. I got to get his thoughts on New York. I think even for Yankees fans, this run that they're on is pretty surprising. Even if you look at Vegas odds heading into the season, they're always near the top in terms of, you know, favorites to win the division and, you know, short odds to win the World Series, and certainly the shortest as we get into the calendar month of August, right? We're right there. I mean, MLB trade deadline happening pretty soon. Shohei Ohtani's, you know, rumored to go to the Yankees. And I really hope, Jay, I just don't want it to happen, dude. Like, don't. I can't. No, don't. No, no. Well, we will talk a little bit about the Yankees, but we're going to wrap up the AFC South here today with the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's actually a lot of appealing names to talk about on this squad and a lot of value across the board. Of course, Travis Etienne has really skyrocketed up draft boards, but then we heard the news this week that James Robinson is practicing, not going to start on the PUP list. So I'll ask Jay what he thinks between the two running backs. Trevor Lawrence bounce back. Is he a serviceable quarterback in a 12-team standard single quarterback league, or is he more of a solid number two in Superflex? And take a look at some of their weapons. Yesterday hit on Marvin Jones. They got Zay Jones there. They spent a boatload of money on Christian Kirk as well. So we'll talk about the Jags. They got Evan Engram in there, but people still seem to like Dan Arnold. So we'll roll through their squad, kind of roll through their schedule, their fantasy assets, what they have to offer. And then I'll get some targets out of Jay as well. And also for me, we've been doing some undervalued players / sleepers. We touched on running backs the past couple days, some sleepers, some less sexy names in terms of undervalued backs going outside the top 50 at the running back position. Today, I'm going to talk about a couple quarterbacks, a couple undervalued quarterbacks. Every year, there's always like two or three that finish inside the top 12, like two or three guys that did not get drafted, really, you know, ownership sub 35%. Week one of the NFL season, NFL, Yahoo, Fantrax, wherever it is, CBS, that you do play. There's always a couple that filter in through inside the top 12. You can go back for years. I mean, Fitzpatrick, the 1 year Fitzpatrick was dominant. Kirk Cousins is a guy that, you know, never really seems to get drafted and finishes right in around the top 12 mark. There's a ton of quarterbacks. So some of it may not be breaking news. Some of the guys I do believe could be starting quarterbacks for you in your single 12-team league with your buddies, where really only one quarterback is rostered. We'll talk about the strategy with quarterbacks. We'll hit on a little bit from Superflex as well. Of course, 6-point passing touchdowns is a little bit different from the standard 4-point passing touchdowns. Some of these quarterbacks are going to go off the board a little bit earlier, but I got five here that I feel like are undervalued and two outside the top 20 at the quarterback position that I actually think could be top 15 quarterbacks, and it's going to blow your mind with one of them. I know it. And we're going to wrap up NFFC, the round targets that we've been talking about. We're digging pretty deep here. We're in round 16 now of NFFC high stakes league. So I'm going to take a look at the average of players that are going around round 16. And I left the defenses off the board because it's really defense heavy into round 16. I think a couple rounds ago, I think round 14, the Bills were the first one off the board. I believe yesterday we talked about round 15, the Bucks were on there. And then there was a ton. There's like four or five defenses in round 16 teams. You know, high stakes players are really at that moment starting to look at defenses that they want to roster. So I left a couple off the board. I believe like the Colts were in there. The Broncos were in there as well. But I just see you later. Only skill position players. We'll talk about those guys as well. So lots to get to here on the show. I'm excited. Jay's hanging by. Lots to get to with him. And we'll probably start things off with Julio Jones. Julio Jones signed a contract yesterday. It's official as of this morning, according to Ian Rappaport. A one-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Maybe the replacement there, as you see there, $6 million salary base there, max of $8 million. And I know what people are saying, Julio doesn't have any hamstrings, he can't get it done anymore. Certainly a future Hall of Famer. And you know what? I think some people said that about Antonio Brown. Some, right? Maybe it was more off-the-field issues with Antonio Brown when he signed with the Bucs, but certainly he made it work. And for Julio, I'm sure the Bucs are not going to just work this guy into the ground right away. I mean, we'll save it. We'll talk about it with Jay, but I think it's a nice addition for the Bucs, even if he's just a guy that plays like 35% of the snaps all season long, have him fresh into the playoffs, a veteran there for Tom Brady. Looks like Chris Godwin's ready to go. So all of a sudden, we're looking at Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, Russell Gage, Fournette of the backfield, Kyle Rudolph, who they picked up, laugh all you want, but he is a veteran tight end that I'm sure will have the trust of Tom Brady inside the red zone. Cameron Brait, who you like on this show, and the Bucs are just going to continue to roll. I think it's going to be another magical season for Tom Brady and company, but we'll see what Jay says. Maybe not. Maybe he doesn't believe in Julio. Maybe he's a big Chris Godwin fan. Maybe he's a big Russell Gage fan. I don't know, but we'll find out. Lots to get to here on Mean Streets. Keeper Lock, Jay's in here next. There he is, my guy, Jay Felicio. G-Man, Jay, content manager over at Front Yard Fantasy. Welcome into the Mean Streets, dude. You are one of my favorite guys in life, so I'm so happy that you're taking the time here today to jump on with me. You're doing some great stuff over at Front Yard Fantasy. I'm happy to return the favor because I've joined you a couple times and you guys have a lot of fun over there. I know you're like pumping out fantasy football content, but you're still doing some like fun little Jeopardy shows and like you're having some fun still on Fridays, correct?
Yep. Well, actually Monday through Friday, we do the fantasy game show. I'll get into that in just a second. Nice. First off, the feeling is 100% mutual. I appreciate you. You're one of my favorite people in the industry. We've talked, you know, everything from hockey to baseball to football and everything in between. Little MLB The Show here and there too.
That's but right.
Yeah, like you said, I'm a part of the team over at Front Yard Fantasy, and that's really one of the focuses that we have is not only giving actionable fantasy advice, but we want to have fun while we do it. We have a ton of video on demand content on our YouTube channel. We do a game show Monday through Friday, the Fantasy Football Game Show, 3 p.m. Eastern. And think of it kind of like the Tonight Show meets fantasy football. We talk some fantasy, play some games. We have Fantasy Jeopardy, Fantasy Fortune, which is like Wheel of Fortune, a bunch of different stuff like that. We have a ton of fun. We have a great team. I love being a part of it.
Yeah, you guys are killing it. And I think that's what it's supposed to be fun, right? Obviously, right. Like fantasy is supposed to be fun. It is serious for some people. People are throwing, you know, money on the line. But it is ultimately supposed to be fun. And exactly. I think you guys do a really good job of that. And I always learn a lot when I join you guys' show and the game shows. And I see some of your crew in here as well. Joey Wright's in here. What's going on? We got Maria in here. People are pretty excited, man, to see you here on a Wednesday. We got Craig in the house, Chris, Jay. what a great way to enjoy midday on a Wednesday. So we appreciate to all the newcomers and the new viewers. We would appreciate you to smash the like button. If you have any comments, any questions for Jay or myself, you can leave them there. The show, of course, on Game Plus Network, iTunes, and Spotify, and all that good stuff. So there's so much I really want to talk to you about. Yeah, so man. I may keep you for a couple segments if you don't mind. You and I play in a couple dynasty leagues together, keeper leagues together, MLB stuff. We've done some NFL stuff together. There's just a lot I can touch on with you, like the Hurricanes, the Yankees. But let's start football-wise.
Sure.
And just want to get your thoughts on Julio Jones. And you said in the opening block that Julio did sign the one-year contract here with the Tampa Bay Bucs. I think it's like a good buy low for Tampa Bay. I don't think we're talking about Julio anymore as like a legitimate starter in your fantasy squad. But does this do anything for you in terms of, I like Tom Brady a little bit more. Maybe you were in on Russell Gage and you got to pump it down a little bit with Russell Gage. It does sound like Chris Godwin's going to be ready to go. Optimism that he'll be ready week one of the NFL season. Mike Evans has been just a 1,000-yard guy basically every single season in a touchdown machine. Fournette catching balls into the backfield, checking in a little overweight, but I think he's lost a couple pounds since that report came out last week, Jay. But what does this signing do for you overall? Anything?
I'm not really interested in Julio Jones from a fantasy standpoint. I think in a dynasty perspective, if you can get anything for Julio now that he signed with the Bucs, take it. I'd take a half-eaten ham sandwich for Julio at this point. If there was any concern with Tom Brady, which one, you know, obviously he's shown us time and time again, you don't have to have any concern for Tom Brady. But, you know, with Chris Godwin being injured, Antonio Brown being Antonio Brown, it's just another red zone weapon. I really would like to see them use him in the red zone. I've never understood why over the years Atlanta seemed to refuse to throw the ball to Julio in the red zone, like the Giants used to do back in the day with Plaxico. Just toss the ball up there, let him out jump everybody. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I think it's a good opportunity to potentially buy low on Mike Evans or Chris Godwin if there is a dip. Those are going to be 1A and 1B options for Tom Brady, especially with Rob Gronkowski out the door. I heard you mention earlier Kyle Rudolph. I think he's another guy that's going to be, you know, he's always been able to sniff out the red zone, sniff out the touchdown somehow. So I really like the idea for Tom Brady more so than I do for Julio.
Yeah, and Tom Brady, I did a mock draft with another guy that you're familiar with, Jake Seeley, and we did a mock draft last night with some of his buddies, and Tom Brady went as like quarterback 12. We were just kind of laughing about it, like, wow, Tom Brady is quarterback 12, and I'm just looking at NFFC over the last month. On average, he's quarterback 11, and I'm going to talk some undervalued quarterbacks later, and I want to get one out of you maybe the next segment, but
sure.
It seems like pretty good value, right? For Tom Brady, led the NFL in passing attempts, passing yards, touchdowns, now adding Julio, Godwin seems fine, adding Russell Gage. Like, it seems like pretty good value at the quarterback position for Tom Brady. Not bad. So I think you're kind of on board. And he Joey says deal. He says, deal, send him a half-eaten sandwich, ham sandwich, and you guys send him Julio, and you guys got yourself a deal there.
That works. I like it. And yeah, it's like Tom Brady, everybody continues to underestimate him, but you just can't. It's not – he didn't come back to be a game manager. He's going to throw the ball.
Yeah. And some of our splits tools and pace tools over at FTN Daily, FTNFantasy.com, you'll see that nobody threw the ball more, like we just talked about Tom Brady, but in terms of like percentage of plays, they're at 66% pass rate. Like, that was number one in the NFL. They just chuck. And it didn't matter. It didn't seem to matter in each of the last two seasons when they were up. Oh, you know, you're up three touchdowns. Maybe like Belichick in New England would say, okay, we're going to run the rock here now. That didn't seem to be the case in Tampa Bay. It was just like throw.
Absolutely.
Okay. So from Tom Brady and the Bucs, Super Bowl contenders, to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And my bad for bringing you on to talk about this squad in the Jags.
That's okay. But
there's a couple appealing names here on this team, I think. We can run through the schedule. We can talk about them from a fantasy football perspective. But Tyler, if you have the board here, and you'll see Jacksonville long shots across the board here to win the AFC. Nobody's talking about that. It's not going to happen. To win the AFC South. I thought this is interesting. At plus 750, Jay, because yesterday we talked about the Texans and Caesars offering 45-1 to win the AFC South. Now, they actually had four wins last year, Houston, and Jacksonville had three. I do believe that the Jags are better than Houston, but I don't think that they're that much better. I think the division is the Colts to lose, and you can make a case for the Titans. But man, if Jonathan Taylor went down, and hopefully this doesn't happen, but if Jonathan Taylor went down, or Matt Ryan went down or Derrick Henry went down, I actually think that this division would be up for grabs. I think it's one of the weaker ones in football. But nonetheless, I think it's a huge gap from plus 750 for the Jags to win the division and 45-1 for the Texans. Long shots here, of course, to win the Super Bowl at 130-1. Let's switch over to their weapons here. Trevor Lawrence, quarterback 18. Travis Etienne has really jumped up draft boards over the past month and a half. We didn't see him play a snap in the NFL last year at Clemson, obviously the former teammate of Trevor Lawrence as well. But now we hear this news about James Robinson, so I'm interested to see where he's going to, you know, fall maybe this time next month where he's going in drafts. But RB47, I can only imagine he's going to skyrocket up. Christian Kirk, they spent all that money on. Wide receiver 40, Marvin Jones, wide receiver 73. Laviska Shenault, one of two players last year with 60 grabs and no touchdowns. The other one, Cole Kmet. Zay Jones, they brought in from the Raiders, who I thought had some decent moments. And then Evan Engram, your former boy, on the board there. Darren Arnold's not on here. Laquan Treadwell's not on here. So there's a couple other players that maybe could be fantasy relevant at times. But let's just focus in on the backfield. Etienne, Robinson. How do you feel like the touches are going to play out? Are you as in on Etienne as everybody else seems to be?
I am. I really like Travis Etienne a lot. I like drafting him a lot more when he was going in the 18 to 19 range versus, you know, creeping up into that, you know, 13, 14. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he winds up going as an RB1 before full-on redraft season starts. I am still in on Etienne, though. Even I take him at running back 13. While it's encouraging to see James Robinson not start the season on the PUP list going into training camp, there's a big difference between not being on the PUP in training camp and being ready to play week one, producing like he did the past two seasons. You know, we saw guys like Derrick Henry and Cam Akers come back from what used to be almost career-threatening injuries. Now, you know, used to be, you know, you're out at least a year. Now it seems like, you know, every player that it happens to, it seems like they shave a couple months off the recovery. But even though they were able to come back, they were not the same player when they came back. So if he is cleared by mid-August, if he doesn't get placed on the PUP, I'm still concerned for what James Robinson looks like on the field when he comes back. Is he going to have that explosiveness when he comes back? They did trade up to draft for Snoop Connor. So, you know, he could be used on the goal line. You can't discount the relationship that Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence had. Travis Etienne could do it all. He can go outside. He can go between the tackles. He can catch the ball. I am really, really excited for Travis Etienne. I think he's one of those guys that as long as he's drafted around the RB2 range, I definitely think it's within the realm of possibility of him finishing as an RB1.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I do agree with you as well. I'm a big James Robinson fan. I think I'm fine with taking flyers with him if you're going to get him around RB45 or RB50. I think he could, at the end of the day, he could, even if I think Etienne could still finish as an RB2 and James Robinson could still finish as like a, you know, as a flex play, at least as a guy that maybe they scale back a little bit from him, you know, with that injury, but maybe he does get some goal line work. Maybe he is the lead, like Doug Peterson did say that he would expect him to be the lead, and they can still use both backs and two running back sets. And you mentioned Etienne, like line them up all over the field, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of what they did in Clemson at times, in the slot, maybe outside, have both backs. It could be like, I don't know, a few years ago, like not Engram now, but a few years ago when it was Engram and Kamara, it could be similar to that. Yeah. I don't know. Do you agree? It could.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. You know, especially there's no real alpha in this offense when it outside of Trevor Lawrence being the quarterback, like it's just a bunch of middle of the road guys, you know, and that's a little disrespectful to Travis Etienne, but there's not somebody who is going to command a huge target share. So I could definitely see that both of those guys being on the field, you know, putting Travis Etienne out wide, James Robinson in the backfield, definitely within the realm of possibility.
John Luke in the house as well. Let's go. You got your whole crew here, Front Yard Fantasy. I love it. I love the support that you guys have as well. Check it out, Front Yard Fantasy on the Twitter machine. You won't be disappointed in the content that comes your way. Okay, so still sticking with Jacksonville here. And one more thing, I guess ETN, now that you know, Robinson is practicing, and people really do like James Robinson as a rookie. He finishes a top six running back. I mean, he was like a bell cow back. He was fantastic. And Urban Meyer was just a complete, I mean, he was a mess last year with this offense, right? I mean, he wasn't giving Robinson the ball. He was giving it to Carlos Hyde. It was just like, what is happening there? That's just one of like a million things that he was, you scratch your head when you dive deep into the things that happened last year in Jacksonville. There's no question.
Exactly.
I think Jags fans have to be excited that they got a guy like Doug Peterson who did wonders with Carson Wentz, who takes a lot of heat now, and the Eagles, who won that bowl a few years ago. But ETN may fall down draft boards just a little bit now with that news, Robinson, and I think, you know, he's still a pretty strong target. So those weapons you mentioned, Tyler, if you want to bring it up one more time here for these guys, Christian Kirk, you know, leaves Arizona and he signs that massive contract here with Jacksonville as wide receiver 40. Marvin Jones is wide receiver 73. I put LaVisca on the board. You know, I feel like people were certainly, you know, big on him last year coming out of the draft as a,
it's me.
You know, I'm liked
people.
Him.
I was
you liked him.
Oh, I was one of the biggest LaVisca Chenault truthers. So
are you, actually are you out now? Are you done? Like, is it a mistake to just say like we're out already? And this guy's only been in the NFL for a minute. And we just talked about how much of a crapshoot last year was. Like, they didn't really use him properly. There was times when it was like Chark, maybe he should have been in the slot, and they were like Agnew, and then Urban Meyer couldn't find a really consistent role for him. And we just talked about how much of a mess that offense was. But Doug Peterson also said, you know, about a month ago that I'm kind of paraphrasing here, that he could be used in the return game. And like, that's a bit of a red flag as well. Like, you don't want to hear that, but would it be a mistake just to write this guy off? I mean, he's basically free right now.
Yeah, I definitely would say it's a mistake to write him off. Now, you know, I was part of the hype train last year. I will fully admit I was a LaVisca Chenault truther, and a little bit of me still is. And he should have been used. And why I was so excited with him is his skill set is so unique. He's got the skill set of a Deebo Samuel. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying he's as talented as Deebo Samuel, but you can line him up in the backfield. You can put him all over the field. He's a Swiss Army knife. I would like to see somebody use him in the correct way. He's practically free right now, so he's somebody that you can take in the last rounds of a draft, throw on the end of your bench, you know, and once bye weeks start hitting, or, you know, if a couple weeks go by and you see that LaVisca Chenault is returning kicks, that he's not anywhere close to the top of the pecking order. You know, he did get 100 targets last year. That's something to at least be excited about. So I would say don't completely write him off. Don't feed into the hype train like I did last year. But I definitely think he's talented enough if he's able to stay healthy and if they use him properly to produce.
I agree with that. I think he's somebody you want to have on your watch list. I think if you're drafting in deep, deep, deep formats, maybe take a shot. And you know what? In dynasty leagues, he's free. And who knows? Maybe it's a change of scenery in a couple of years. Like, he does seem like he's – I think it's too early to completely write him off. I don't know if he'll live up to the hype that maybe you or some other people gave. And you weren't the only one, dude. Yeah. You really weren't. But you're right. 100 targets is not something that you can just say, okay, he's not going to be a factor in this offense. Christian Kirk, we can all agree that he got overpaid, and we'll see what he can do on the football field. But he's going as wide receiver 40, as I mentioned. Here's a couple other players that are going in around that range, Jay. Devontae Smith, Michael Thomas, Drake London, Tyler Lockett, Kadarius Toney, Brandon Ayuk, Robert Woods, Alan Lazard. Does Kirk stand out to you as a guy you'd like to have in that range? Because ultimately, this is going to be a team that's playing from behind. Like, they're going to be right there with the Bucs in terms of throwing. It's going to be different. They have to throw to play catch up. They played at the fastest pace last year at 25.2 seconds per snap. That's because they need to. Like, they can try to establish a run all they want, but let's be honest about their defense. They are going to be playing from behind this year, and they are going to be checking. So there's going to be an opportunity for some of these guys to rack up some targets. So in or out on Kirk?
I lean more out. While I don't mind him around that ADP, you know, that's the type of – I would take him over a guy like Robert Woods. At that ADP, you're shooting for upside. You want guys that can, you know, be game breakers. You don't want – while Robert Woods, he'll probably lead the Titans in targets, you're not going to see him make that jump coming off of injury in that offense. I would rather take Ayuk. I'd rather take Lazard. You know, Christian Kirk, one, he broke the – wide receiver free agency with that contract, which I don't blame the guy. Take the money if somebody's willing to pay you. do it. But, you know, he had the best season of his career last year, and he still didn't even break 1,000 yards. His highest finish on a points per game basis is wide receiver 32. So I think he's going to do more of the same of what he's done in Arizona, where he's going to have those big games when he catches the deep pass, because, you know, he's fast. He can outrun plenty of DBs. So I think with as much as they're going to be throwing the ball, you're going to see some big games. But I think that Jacksonville, from a passing perspective, is going to wind up using a little bit of a wide receiver by committee. I don't see Trevor Lawrence really zoning in on any particular wide receiver. You know, Christian Kirk and Marvin Jones kind of play on the same area of the field. They really like to play down the field, especially on the right side. So 1 week could be a Kirk game, 1 week could be a Marvin Jones game. Yeah. You know, you got Zay Jones, who's also capable down the field. So I'm kind of out on, you know, I'd take him in that range, but I'm not actively looking to draft him.
Yeah, I think that I think I'm with you there. I would rather have, you know, one guy that you didn't mention, I don't know if you want to be a homer or not, but Kadarius Toney, right? I mean, I'd rather have Kadarius Toney, I think. I think I really would, man. Brian Daboll going there. We can touch on the Giants maybe quickly in the next block, but I think there's reason to be excited about the Giants' direction as well. Just like Doug Peterson coming in there, and I think he's going to be able to do, you know, not wonders, but he's going to be able to improve this offense, and Trevor Lawrence is not going to be as bad as what he was.
Can't be worse.
Last year. Can't be worse. I guess you're right. One guy I do want, you mentioned him, Marvin Jones. I brought him up yesterday as a target in round 15, and you just see here, like 120 targets, 73 grabs, didn't really have a lot of touchdowns. Of course, the Jags didn't score a lot of touchdowns. 30% of his team's air yards. And of course, like, Kirk is going to cut in, like you mentioned. Zay Jones, I think, had some pretty solid moments last year. Really surprised me. You know, Derek Carr is an accurate quarterback, and, you know, he went to him a lot towards the end of the season. I think he may have went to him with a game on the line in the playoffs against Cincy, which would have been a mistake because he had Waller and Renfro right there. But I digress. A healthy A-dot, 12.05. End zone targets. You see the note there on the bottom. Last year finished eighth in end zone targets last season with 13. He's always been a red zone guy. I think he will be the number one target for Trevor Lawrence. Maybe it's Ingram potentially, but I think Jones is shown more stability. Like, he's had, you know, 8+ touchdowns. And I think in like 3 of his last 5 years, like, I know he's had some good quarterbacks at times, like in Detroit, he certainly had Stafford, which was a nice solid quarterback, but he finished as wide receiver 34 last year on a brutal team that couldn't get anything done offensively. He's going as wide receiver 73. I think I'm willing to take a shot on him here. It's just like, you know what, if it doesn't work out, I'll just hit up the waiver wire after week 2 or 3.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. At that ADP, yeah, there's no reason not to. He's already got the rapport with Trevor Lawrence. Like, as you we've talked about, he's put up big seasons before. You know, I think he's a very solid flex play, a bye week replacement. If by some chance Doug Peterson turns this offense just average and he's his go-to guy, he will be an absolute steal of that ADP. And like you said, there's no downside. Where you're getting him, if it doesn't work out, you can just drop him.
You know, you could disagree with me, Jay. You're a super nice guy. You can say, listen, I am not drafting Marvin Jones. Would you stop it already? No. quickly, we do have to break here. I want to keep you around if you don't mind. But just like yes or no, maybe like 30 seconds or so on Evan Ingram. Like, I know he showed some upside with the Giants, but like,
I'm in. At the cost, yeah. I think I could, you know, we saw Dan Arnold really turn it on when he was on the field last year with Trevor Lawrence. I like the opportunity he's going to have. He's talented. He could, you know, fill in that hole where in the middle of the field where Trevor Lawrence might not have anybody else to catch the ball.
Yeah, and maybe like when we're talking about change of scenery, like potentially down the road for LaVisca, change of scenery could certainly do, I think, Evan Ingram some good as well. And you're right, they really utilized the tight end last year quite a bit inside that offense. So he could be something for sure. Maybe it's a 1-2 punch with him and Darren Arnold, but maybe we're talking about him in DFS. Or some people like to play tight end premiums. I know Scott Fish, I think you're rocking the tee. Yeah, there you go. So, he could be an asset in those type of formats as well. Jay, hang on. Quick break. We'll say goodbye to the Jags for now. I didn't roll through their schedule, but that's it.
They're not going to win a lot of games. There it is.
They're not going to win a lot of games. I see a couple winnable games on their schedule. Washington.
I was going to say, I think they could win week one. In the division. I think they could win week one.
Washington, Houston, your Giants, Detroit, Houston again, they got the Jets. So it's possible they could win four or five games, but I think I like Detroit and the Giants a little bit more than Jacksonville. So it's going to be another long season, but reasons to be optimistic about the Jags. Quick break here on Mean Streets, but we'll be back. We're going to dive into a couple other things. We'll get some targets at a Jay before we get out of here. Maybe touch on his Yankees and touch on the Hurricanes. Lots more here on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. Chris Meaney and G-Man Jay here. We are talking some fantasy football. We just wrapped up with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know not of a lot of targets there for you. It did seem like you like Travis Etienne there a little bit. Maybe take some shots on some wide receivers and tight ends a little bit later on in your draft. But let's give you the mic, the opportunity here to share maybe a target or two, one of your favorite targets. It's okay. It could be anywhere. It could be a first-round target, anything you want. Maybe some guys that you have a lot of shares of, but or somebody that you really want to have and you think could be a league winner. What you got?
Yeah, so I'll give it a little bit of both. I'll start with the okay. with the deep pick late first, and then we'll go with a stud that I really like. Okay. First one is going to be Chase Claypool. And the biggest thing with him is the hate has just gone too far. He's going around in the mid-40s for wide receiver. And yes, he did take a big step back in the touchdown area. You know, he had 11 touchdowns total in 2020, two last year. Yes, that's very ugly, but everybody keeps talking about how he had this major step back. But if you look at his stat line, they're eerily similar. In 2020, he had 109 targets, 62 receptions, 873 reception yards. 2021, he had 105 targets, 59 receptions, and 860 yards. Those are virtually the same, and that was in one less game. The biggest thing, Ben Roethlisberger took a huge step back. He had 33 touchdown passes in 2020. In 2021, he had only 22 touchdown passes. So Chase Claypool really doesn't have to do that much to be of value. I feel like you're getting him below his floor. You know, he's finished in the mid-30s in a points-per-game basis. You're getting him cheaper than that. And if he does have that third-year breakout, you know, if this offense is just a little bit better, obviously, you know, it's Kenny Pickett, it's Mitchell Trubisky, so we don't know what we're going to get out of this offense. Yeah. But I think where you're getting him at is with the ceiling that he still possesses. This time last year, everybody was all about Chase Claypool. He was going super high in redraft leagues and dynasty leagues, and I think he's a perfect post-hype sleeper.
There's another guy, too, is a good buy low in Dynasty. And, you know, you didn't have to say that because he's Canadian in Game Plus in the Toronto area. Like, you didn't have to do that because of that. Yeah. I do agree with that take. It is – the hate has gone on a little bit. It's too much. I'm seeing now over the last month, Jay, wide receiver 48 That's in around ridiculous. The rookies. It's like Olave, Burks, Moore, Wilson, Rondell Moore. Tyler Boyd is another one. His wide receiver 52, I think, is like extremely undervalued. As you saw here on the list, as a guy in Tyler Boyd who finished like a top 40 wide receiver last year. And this is a guy that you're getting in the 50s. It's crazy. It's a decent little flex play there. The quarterback play was so bad last year. I actually just felt for Claypool as like kind of the deep threat guy in the offense sometimes. And I know they can move them all over, maybe play some slot and things, but there was so many times last year where Big Ben just couldn't get him the ball down the field where he was open. And he's one of those guys that can go up and get it right. Like contested catches. He can haul those in. And whether it's Trubisky or not, like, I don't know if it's going to be that much of a downgrade. I know Big Ben, you can make the case from Hall of Fame or Super Bowls, like whatever, but he really fell off in each of the past 2 years. As a passer.
I think my 3-year-old son had a stronger arm than Big Ben last year. Let's be honest.
Yes, I love it. I love it. John says Front Yard Fantasy is pro-Canadian. Yes, I think when I joined you guys and we were doing the game show, you guys were asking me some random like French, like, or I think I do like Apple and French. Like, you guys are kind of blown away that I knew that. But here in Canada, at grocery stores, it's right there for you. Apple Palm, like, it's right there. Okay, give me another target that you like. This one I feel like is going to be a stud.
Yeah, this is going to be the stud. I'm really in on DeAndre Swift this year. You know, there's some question marks. Everybody was concerned with the signing of Jamal Williams last year, which I really feel like that was more of a real football move versus a fantasy football move. You know, through week 11 last year, he was running back 5 in PPR leagues. It feels like people have just completely forgot that. Even he finished as running back 10 in points per game. Only playing in 13 games, he had 62 receptions, 452 receiving yards. That was the fourth most receptions and fifth most receiving yards for running backs. He had the fourth highest target share for running backs. You know, the Lions, say what you want about them, they've got one of the best offensive lines. They've invested. Yeah. They started at the right place on the line. And he had a higher yards per carry last year than Najee, than James Conner, and Barkley. So I really feel like even though he's going around, you know, running back eight, he still has some room to improve. I think he's one of a handful of guys that you could see finishing inside the top five. And I think he's a dark horse to finish as the RB1 in fantasy.
I think he could be a league winner. I think he could be an absolute league winner. There's a lot of like similarities, I think, to Eckler and Kamara as a guy that 108 catches in 2 years. Right, that's pretty spectacular. 135 targets, 108 catches, 809 receiving yards. He's got 17 total touchdowns, and he's only played 26 games, you know, in the NFL. So pretty. Yeah, and you mentioned the line. I think that's the key. The offensive line is really, really good. And you saw the board there. I like what Detroit is building offensively. Like, Goff, say what you want about Goff, but, man, there's some weapons in this offense.
Absolutely.
Amon-Ra St. Brown was terrific towards the end of the season. T.J. Hawkinson's a reliable tight end. You know, you bring in Charik. Jameson Williams we'll see at some point this season as a deep threat guy inside this offense as well. And they play tough. They hung around. I know they only won, like, three games last year, but – they're a team that covered the spread quite a bit. Dude, we do have to get out of here, unfortunately. Yankees, I mean, what can you say? Is Judge part of the future?
I think he is. I really do. I think he is. I think he's going to stick around. I think he wants to. I think he's playing hardball, which the Yankees, you know, they took a chance, and they're going to lose out. I think they'll wind up paying him the money.
Yeah, I think so, too. And your Hurricanes, Brent Burns and Pacioretty, those are two really nice additions. Like, it's an upgrade over Tony D'Angelo. He had a good season for you guys last year, but having Brent Burns in there and then Pacioretty really didn't have to give up anything on the roster to get this guy. I think you can agree. Like, it just seemed like Carolina just lacks a little bit of scoring punch. It's it. Pacioretty's a former 40-goal scorer, 30-goal scorer, a sniper on the squad. They're 13-1 to win the cup. 30 seconds or so?
Yeah. You like the direction? Absolutely. I messaged you when these moves went down. I love it. I love that even though we had one of the best seasons in the entire franchise's history, they didn't just sit on their hands. They saw a need. You know, we need a top-end scorer, and we went out and traded for him.
Yeah, 13-1 over at Caesars, 12-1 BetMGM, 10-1 points bet. You may not get 13-1 for too long. So we do like the Hurricanes. We do like you as well on this show. Appreciate it, dude. I wish we had more time to chop it up, but let's do this again. Maybe 100%. Get into your Giants a little bit more before the season does get underway. So give Jay a follow, G-Man Jay. Check out Front Yard Fantasy all over the place. Appreciate everybody that hung out here with you as well. And we will chat to you soon, dude. Thanks so much for this. We're going to talk undervalued quarterbacks in the next block. I've got some MLB picks for you as well to round up Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. You're watching Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. We're going to talk some undervalued quarterbacks in fantasy football. You know, in a single quarterback league, I am not touching the quarterback position until the earliest I would draft one would be round four. And it would just be Allen or Herbert. That's probably it. And I just know that I'm not going to get either of those guys in round four. They're going to go end of second, early third. It's just the way it is. Not talking, you know, 6-point passing touchdown. I'm not talking super flex. I'm talking you start one quarterback in a 12-team league. I don't think you need to draft two. I really don't. I think if you want to draft two, make it your last couple of picks and take two little flyers. And we'll get into a couple that you could take with your last couple of picks. But for me, you don't need a second quarterback if you're taking a top 10 quarterback. You don't. You're rolling them out every week. You find a bye week replacement on the waiver wire. Talked earlier off the top of the show. Every year, there's always two or three quarterbacks that don't get drafted that finishes top 12 quarterbacks. It just happens. Like, the gap between quarterback 10 and quarterback 18 is not that significant. Of course, my one piece of advice for people that are just playing fantasy football for the first time and they're looking at the scoring system and statistics, wow, quarterbacks score the most fantasy points. I got to get one. I don't think you should think like that. It's a very deep position. You can easily find a replacement. Attack the running back position early. Get yourself a bell cow running back, maybe two in the first three rounds. Find the value at the wide receiver position, and then seek out the value at the quarterback position. So with that said, I got five undervalued quarterbacks here. I am leading with the guy that was absolutely dead wrong with last year. I was in a year too early on this guy. I do believe he could be last year's Jalen Hurts, and that is Trey Lance of the San Francisco 49ers. I am a big fan of Trey Lance and what he can offer here. As you see, I got him as quarterback 10. He is going as quarterback 13. I think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. I mentioned I was in on him too early last year. I just thought the Niners traded all the way up to get this guy at 3. And I didn't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. The 49ers, I guess, did last year. They don't now because they are looking to trade this guy. And Trey Lance has been named the starter. So you see the note there on the right. Very small sample size, but two starts last year. He had 120 rushing yards and 33 fantasy points. 33 fantasy points in two starts. Now, he's not going to get 60 rushing yards per game. If he got 60 rushing yards per game, he'd have 1,000 rushing yards this season, which just wouldn't be the case. But if he gets around 40... he can get into that 700 range. Now, DK has him, his rushing yard prop for the season at 500 rushing yards at minus 150. So it's really juiced to the over. But honestly, this guy does have a lot to offer on the ground. I love that about fantasy. Take a look at Jalen Hurts' numbers last year, 784 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. He led all quarterbacks in those two categories, but he only had 16 passing touchdowns and 3,100 passing yards, but he finishes quarterback 6 in fantasy points per game. He missed a couple games. He only played 14. We got a better play caller here in Kyle Shanahan in San Fran. We got better weapons. Yak monsters, Kittle, Ayuk, Debo Samuel. There's a lot of weapons surrounding Trey Lance. They're going to let him go this year. I think that he could finish as a top 10 quarterback. I think he could be a league winner. You got that nice rushing floor there that comes with Trey Lance. And as I mentioned, even if he only gets 700 rushing yards, that would be number 4. Last year, there were only 3 guys at 700. Kyler checked in with 400 at number 4 at the quarterback position. I would take the over on rushing yards for Trey Lance at 500. And transitioning into another quarterback here, same sort of deal is Justin Fields. I think there's a lot of value here. The weapons are not as nice. The play calling, probably not. They're going to be a run-first team. Really only has Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet to throw the ball to. I like Pringle, but let's be honest, they didn't really help him out in the draft and through free agency to bring in weapons. But also, you see the note there. Average 51.5 rushing yards over his last 7 games. Nagy did not know how to play to his strengths. There was no run design. There was nothing. There's no guys moving in motion. His first start, he got sacked a bunch, and it was just a complete crapshoot. I think things are going to be better for him. And again, the note, 51 rushing yards per game. That's like 800 over the course of his season. Let's scale it down a bit. Maybe he only gets 40. That's like starting with a free touchdown every single game for Fields. He's getting drafted as quarterback 16. That's kind of where I have him, but I wouldn't be shocked if he finished inside the top 12, especially if he can get those touchdowns up and increase that accuracy a little bit. But he is going to run around, and his rushing yard prop is 499 over at BetMGM. Other books have him nearly at 600. I think you get in on that 499 right now. A couple other undervalued quarterbacks before we get out of here on this list. I got Derek Carr, who I like quite a bit. Jameis Winston, and believe it or not, Jared Goff. But for Carr, I will say this. So last year, he finished fifth in passing yards with 4,800. Waller missed a bunch of time. He was really only throwing the ball to Renfro. Ruggs, you know, was in and out. McDaniels is now there, and Carr had only 23 touchdowns. I think he can get up to 30. You bring in Devontae Adams. He finished as quarterback 14 last year with no Adams. So you bring in his former teammate. They have a connection together. McDaniels is an upgrade as a play caller. I think this offense could look a lot like New England's offense when they had Randy Moss and Wes Welker. I think Welker could kind of be Renfro, and then Adams could kind of be Randy Moss. Derek Carr is an accurate quarterback, like him. And then on the way out, Winston and Goff, they just have a ton of weapons. So I think there's value there for Winston. You got Olave, you got Landry, you got Thomas, Kamara to the backfield if he plays, you know, this season. Jared Goff in there, all the weapons we just touched on with Jay in the last segment. A lot of deep threat options in there, reliable targets like Hawkinson, Swift, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Don't be shocked if Jared Goff is a top 15 quarterback. Yeah, I said it. I know. And I want you to stick around because I got more here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. A couple MLB picks here for you. Lots of action around the diamond. I'm trying to focus in on late afternoon and late night games, but let's bring up the board here, Tyler, and a few here. And I'm leading with Patrick Corbin. This is a high number over 6.5 hits, but it's plus money over at Caesars. I think it's plus money over at DraftKings as well. He's allowed at least 8 hits in 4 straight starts and at least 7 hits in 11 of his last 12. The one outing that he didn't allow 7 hits came against the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates. This is the Dodgers here we're talking about. I know they've struggled in the past couple games against Washington, but Patrick Corbin is a contact guy, and they just leave him in. They don't care. He gets in the 100. He's going to toss about 100 pitches, even if he allows 12 or 13 hits. It's just kind of what they do in Washington, and I don't have anybody else really to throw out there. Lucas Giolito, 4.5K. I know that this game is at Coors, and I know that Giolito has struggled at times. He's got a 5.12 ERA. But keep in mind that he does have a 3.72 xFIP, so he's got a little bit unlucky, and he's got a 10.25 K per nine. So if he's striking out a batter per inning and a little bit over a batter per inning, even in a matchup in Coors Field, at Coors Field, I think he can get to five strikeouts. We're getting plus money here for Lucas Giolito. The Rockies don't strike out much, but they're a much worse team against right-handed pitching than left-handed pitching. He got Braxton Garrett there on the bump. I like him as well, minus 120 over at Unibet. He took advantage of a weak hitting team in the Pirates, which is touched on his last two starts. He had 18 strikeouts in 12 innings against Pittsburgh. He's got a decent matchup here against the Reds as well. They have the ninth highest strikeout rate in baseball against lefties, and they rank in the bottom 10 in WOBA and WRC plus against lefties as well. And then we round out here with Houston and Toronto on the money line. The St. Louis Cardinals are still depleted lineup, so that's why we like Kevin Gausman here at over 5.5. He's just too juiced to take him as a single. I think minus 175. The same thing with Luis Castillo as well. He's just too juiced to take at that number. I think you can get him at minus 150. I'm okay with that. Maybe he gets to 6.5 and you could take the plus money there if you want, but keep in mind we did get burned by like that one strikeout yesterday with Hunter Green and Shane McClanahan. So don't mind paying a little bit of juice, put them into a parlay and make it worth your while. Luis Castillo has been fantastic over the last little bit. He fanned 8 in his last start against the Yankees. He's top 5.5 in an outing against the Dodgers in June 22nd. He's got 33 strikeouts in his last 27 innings. Miami, over the last 30 days, they rank 30th in WOBA, 29th in WRC+, and they're inside the top 12 in strikeout percentage as well. Castillo has racked up at least 6K in 6 straight starts in 9 of his past 10. A whole lot more and our FTM bet tracker, FTNBets.com. Promo code MEANY saves yourself a little bit of cash. You get all the picks from everybody over at FTN. One more quick segment. It's round 16. There's not a lot of appealing names to talk about, but I do have one that I will address in the final block. Don't go anywhere. Let's take a look at the guys going in round 16 of NFFC drafts just quickly here. There's not a lot of appealing names here on this list. I don't mind Nico Collins. There's an opportunity for somebody to be the number two in Houston for sure this year. Robert Tonyan, I was going to talk about him. I think I will, even though George put him on the board and kind of jinxed him. 2 years ago, he was the top five tight end. And the touchdowns, we all knew that they were going to regress a little bit. It was just going to be the case. But this year with no Davante Adams, I certainly think that he could get back to that season where he had 11 touchdowns. I think he could flirt with double-digit touchdowns. I think he makes for a decent flyer towards the end of your draft. And then I'll give some love here to Kendrick Bourne last season, who finished as wide receiver 34 in a PPR league. That's right, wide receiver 34. He led the Pats in yards per catch with 14.5, 800 yards on 55 grabs. Devontae Parker is nice. I think he's a decent target, but Kendrick Bourne is basically free, and I wouldn't be shocked if he was the number one target for Mac Jones. Hayden Hurst, decent as well. Thanks so much for taking the time to hang out. We will be back tomorrow. Have a good one. Cheers. We'll